It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
So hello, Angela Bassett.
Hello, Oprah Winfrey.
So we're at the stunning Academy Museum of Motion Pictures in Los Angeles. And I thought that this was the perfect place to have a conversation with you at this time in your life and career, considering you just received an Oscar. And the speech that you gave will live on forever. I mean, the internet was going crazy. I think I've seen it multiple times because you can see that it came up out of your soul, but that you had thought about it, had given great consideration to what you wanted to say.
This, for me, is not just another award. It's a testament to my legacy. This trophy represents my contributions to this medium of film. All that I've given of my mind, body, and spirit as an actress who is a Black woman.
The Academy said this about you. Across her decades-long career, Angela Bassett has continued to deliver transcendent performances that set new standards in acting, establishing her as one of the most esteemed actors of her time. Whoa.
Nicely said.
I
receive it.
Yeah, and you can receive it. When I read it, I wondered, could you receive? You did that thing. Angela Bassett, you did that thing. That you came here 35 years ago with a dream, and now the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, which is the standard, says that you are one of the most esteemed actors of the time.
That blesses my soul, blesses my heart, and I'm humbled by it. Because you fall in love with something, you do it for the love of it, not thinking that one day anything like that may be said of you, but that your work has paid off and you've been seen in that way, I'm very appreciative.
Can you receive it? Because I think so many times, everybody's always looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Are you at a space and a time where you can hear it, take it in, and know it? That's what Cicely Tyson used to say to me, know it. Can you know it?
I can know it.
You can know
it. I can know it because I worked hard to get to this place. So I know it's not a gift. I know that I earned it because I worked hard for
it. You worked for it.
Exactly.
Don't go anywhere. More to come after this short break.
No two travelers are exactly alike, and that means no two trips should be either. Texas' vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities allow for an infinite number of different travel experiences. Are you a beach person? Well, you'll be having fun under the sun with Texas' 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies can't get enough of Texas' world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, Visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Visit TravelTexas.com/get your own to get the only trip to Texas that matters, yours. That's TravelTexas.com/get your own. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank. Some things should be boring, like banking. Boring is safe and reliable. You don't want your bank to be entertaining. Entertaining is for podcasts with inspiring celebrity guests, not banks. PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is the service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Born in 1958 in Harlem, Angela was raised by her Aunt Golden and Uncle Grover in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Her single mother, Betty Jane, would eventually move with Angela and her sister to St. Petersburg, Florida. Angela's love for the stage sparked at a young age. As a budding actress, she studied at the prestigious Yale School of Drama, graduating with a Master of Fine Arts. Within a year, she was on Broadway in plays like August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and Joe Turner's Come and Gone. It wasn't long before Hollywood came a-calling. Boys in the Hood, What's Love Got to Do with It, Waiting to Exhale, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, Black Panther.
Regina King, your friend and co-star in Boys in the Hood and How Stella Got Her Groove Back, introduced you. I thought the introduction was equally as great as your response to it.
Beyond Angela's talent is something that everyone who has worked with her will share with you. Work with Angela on set, and you become her friend for life. She has stitched a sisterhood that exists simply because of who she is as a woman and a human being.
And she said, Angela has lived a career for the ages. She has a perspective and a voice and a beauty that is proudly Black. I love this line. Mm. But what she embodies at her core is beyond anything that is skin deep. She is artistic excellence embodied in human form. And when she was speaking, I wrote that down. Artistic excellence embodied in human form. What did it mean?
Now that I might have to take a minute to receive and know.
Artistic.
I'm gonna have to sit with that one.
Excellence embodied in human form. I mean, could you even hear those words?
Now that, I was trying to. I was doing everything.
Yeah.
Everything in my power.
But by that time,
moment.
You know you gotta get up out of your seat.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
Try not to trip and fall.
Yes.
But it was just such a blessing, so glorious to have Regina there. I absolutely adore her and who she is in the world, and to have her there and to speak those words of generosity and kindness toward me. I believe that's how we should be with one another, when and if we can be.
Yes.
And so I love her. I love her for that.
I love the fact that you spoke her name, Cicely Tyson, and talked about the fact you knew that this was a way to fulfill your destiny, that you believed in your soul that this was your destiny, that getting to the point where you could use your body, your art, your talent as an expression to offer people stories.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's all about the illumination of this experience called life. Mm-hmm. You know, our individual and collective humanity. And if we can see each other through this imagery, these images, I mean, that's what it's been for me. And she, as an actress, when I was a little girl, I could see the beauty.
When she had that little close crop afro.
Yes.
Yes.
It was all so magnificent. Mm-hmm. And there was such compassion that rose up in me for the Black woman, for this hardworking Black woman, for the single Black woman whose man's, whether it's, you know, whatever role, Sounder or Miss Jane Pittman, and the way she held herself, both on screen and off.
One of the things you said was that because of watching actresses like her, mm-hmm. that you saw there was a way to fulfill what I believed in my soul was my destiny. I want you to describe how you knew in your soul that acting was
that I was
destiny.
Gonna go this way?
Yeah, yeah.
I can go back to when I'm 15. I think we all can. I think I've heard you, you know, speak of yourself and your past and experiences and what has attracted you and drawn you and pushed you. But when I was 15, you're writing in your diary.
Yeah. You know, I still have my diary from when I was 15.
And I say constantly, I should have continued
to keep up
a diary, yes, because the experiences have been so, I mean, from then to now. But to 15 and just trying to figure out what this world is all about. You know, I have Bronwyn and Slater now who are 18, and you see in them trying to figure out who you are.
Yes.
Make sense of the world.
I have so many bad poems about who am I? I am becoming. I am.
But when I discovered acting and upon the stage and how to use words.
I heard there was a seminal moment. It was for you, James Earl Jones, on stage in Of Mice and Men.
Of Mice and Men, seeing him. And then being the only one left in a seat in a theater much like this, while they're picking up programs and want to clean up and the lights are on, and I am just an emotional wreck.
At 15?
Yeah. But it was something about being an emotional wreck and crying. I loved feeling that. It felt so human. You know, and I know that's make-believe in a character, mm-hmm, but it was written by a playwright and performed by an actor. And we had this collective experience as an audience together. And I was moved to tears. And I thought, if I can do that.
I love the fact that your mother once told you that I don't have average children. Consider more of yourself, she said, and hold yourself to a higher standard. I remember when I came home with a C once, and my father said, this is the last time there will be a C in this house because you're not an average student.
Right.
If you were an average student, I would accept the C. But this is unacceptable coming from you. So when I read that your mother had said that, I thought you were brought up in the same kind of household.
That's right. Now, I done told you.
I done told you.
Yes. It was just sort of like a little whooping, but it felt good. Mm-hmm. It was like, thanks for recalibrating me. You know what? You're right.
What do you think your mother, Betty, mm-hmm, and your Aunt Golden were thinking watching you on that stage, accepting the Oscar, looking like an Oscar?
Oh, well, I know my mother. My mother probably, you know, as she was when I got into college, I got into Yale, I was like, you know, humbled.
Could you feel the spirit of them? Could you feel?
I could.
Yes.
And she was excited. She was whooping and yelling and kicking her feet. And, mm-hmm, you know, she would be that excited.
But when you were standing up there, could you feel that it was more than just you, that it was, that you were?
One on one side of me and one on the other.
Yes.
One on the other. Word says we have so great a cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
And they witnessed that.
Yeah.
The two of them and so many others who've, you know, been by my side and pushing me and believing in me and seeing in me what at that time I could not see of myself.
But you knew it. Somewhere inside, Angela, you knew it. You didn't know it would end up here.
No.
This, mm-hmm, in this form, but you could feel that thing.
I could feel that I'm meant for something, that I am somebody because of them, because of looking at them.
Let's talk about that first film, Boys in the Hood, which is such an iconic and groundbreaking film. What do you remember about that experience? Could you feel the shift that was about to come in your life and career?
No, I don't think, I didn't look that far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I think as an actor, we're always told to stay
in the moment.
In the moment. And it was at the beginning, I'd come to LA and I was doing a lot of television, mm-hmm, you know, guest starring on a lot of different television shows. And
I forgot about 227 till Regina
mentioned
it the other night.
I was like,
I went, oh my God, that's right. 227.
She was a baby. What was she, about 13 or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, I did a lot of television shows, and we didn't have nearly as many outlets as we have today. I mean, you can catch the middle of anything today. Mm-hmm. Just keep turning.
It was ABC, NBC, CBS.
And way back, and they used to go off at 11 o'clock.
That's
so,
right.
11 p.m. But so when I met this young filmmaker, young director, writer, John Singleton.
John Singleton.
And he was a baby then. He was such a skinny little bright-eyed baby then. You know,
with
I felt so maternal, a big sisterly toward him.
Mm-hmm.
And up to that point, I felt like I was put in a box of doing just episodic TV.
Yes.
And that there was a ceiling to that, Once you visited every set and played one role on a guest star on every show, you got to come back as that character or that's it.
Yes.
You know?
And nobody was creating characters based on you.
Exactly.
Then.
So for this young filmmaker to come out and he had the support of those behind him, Stephanie Lane and others, he gave me an opportunity to be on film and to stretch out and to attempt more and grow as much as I could. So I love that.
You said this, every role that I've taken on has been to break through those perceptions of us as Black women, to show our humanity, to tell the diversity of our stories, and to share the complexities of what it means to be Black and a woman. So is that the foundation for you when you're reading a script as to how it's going to show the complexity and how it's going to portray the image of the Black woman in the world in a way that that image is consistently lifted?
Certainly, absolutely. Coming up and through, looking at the scripts, I appreciate and study history, and I love my community, and I love the women and men and the voices who've raised me, and I want to pay homage and respect to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the world to see us in our beauty and complexity and have compassion for us. So when I look at a script, if it seems sinister to me, but I don't mind the frailties that we each have, the mistakes, the missteps that we make, but do we grow from them?
Mm-hmm.
What is the journey?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to offer something.
Cicely Tyson, also the same, would never choose anything that she thought was not elevating the entire spectrum of Black womanhood. Sidney Poitier, the same.
Absolutely.
The same.
And one of the things I said the other night that Martin Luther King said, we're not makers of history, we're made by history.
Yes.
And me seeing their performances, they made me.
Mm.
That's she and he or who I saw. And they were my standard of excellence. They were my standard.
Yeah.
That's what I hope to achieve.
Yeah.
You
that
know?
Was a North Star for you.
Yeah. We had to then.
Well, that's a pretty good standard.
So few representations. I appreciated them because I saw the beauty of us in their representation.
Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Shop by price, like 25 and under to 100 and under. Category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted and for grandma. Get top gifts like Dolce & Gabbana Devotion, Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes, celebrating the Black experience. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
So you've played so many iconic real-life women, Betty Shabazz and Rosa Parks and Coretta Scott, the greats.
I'm every woman.
Coretta Scott King, and of course, Tina Turner. What did you learn about yourself through Tina?
I learned that I am stronger than I ever realized.
Really?
That I am. There was so much required to fulfill that assignment,
mm-hmm.
to portray that magnificent individual. it was hard work. Her life was hard work.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She persevered. You talk about resilience. Very few like that.
You know, it's interesting. I was watching her documentary recently, and I saw where she came in, and everybody was like, oh, Miss Turner, what do you think of the film? And she said she hadn't seen the film. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, that must have hurt in that moment.
That was a little innocent.
You're like, but what? You haven't seen it, but now I know.
Yeah, but even then, I would try to understand why, try to understand her perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it may entertain you, or you're going to grow to figure some things out or to see some things you never knew behind the scenes.
Well, let me tell you what she told me.
But it wasn't entertaining.
Let me tell you.
Tell me.
What she told me about you. She said you were too good. You were so good.
Oh.
You were so good that you didn't just act it, that it was coming from your soul and it felt so real that she could not make herself watch it.
Right. You're reliving
it. She said she was too good. Mm-hmm. Oprah, she was too good. She's too good. She was too good. You were so good that she couldn't even allow herself to watch it because it was too much like reliving it for herself. Yeah.
And I you know, it's like, oh, I hope she sees it one day because I just live to honor her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To honor her and all the women that I've been able, you know, privileged to portray. So I was hoping
when you were named to the Time 100 list, she wrote the article about you and she said, "You never mimic me. Instead, you reached deep into your soul, found your inner Tina and showed her to the world. That is your gift, becoming your character with conviction, truth, dignity, and grace, whether you're Tina Turner or the Queen of Wakanda. We believe in you because you believe in yourself. You honor all the women you play, just as you honored me, and you're still perfect."
Oh.
Yeah.
She was there along the way.
Wow.
So, no, she couldn't sit and watch that, but she was there supporting me every single step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew how rare and generous that was for anyone to do.
Can we talk about waiting to exhale and that scene when Bernadine sets fire to her cheating husband's car? I'm sure that scene, I just looked
cathartic.
At it recently, that thing was choreographed when you're going in. And,
but it was hot.
It was hot.
That day, it was warm.
It was warm.
Hitting my face.
I was thinking, Angela really, really brings up the anger of every woman who's ever been betrayed, who's ever felt like, I believed in you, I trusted you, I gave to you, I was there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you're pulling from the closet and throwing in the pile represents that.
Yeah, I went manic in that closet, you know, improvised. I was a background
foreground. Where was that all coming from?
Oh, just righteous indignation, you know.
Were you looking forward to doing that scene at the time, or were you anxious about doing that scene?
I think looking forward.
Were you looking forward to doing it? Yeah, to get
it out.
That all up.
I try to remain so calm in real life and, you know, that public face.
Yes.
But there are some things, you know, in life or in relationships, whatever, that anger us. You know, and they come up. So really, those moments on film are ways for me to
express that.
Yeah.
Wow, it's fantastic. And was the flick of the cigarette, was that your idea, or was that the...
I really felt like my mother in that.
Oh, really?
In that moment. You know, because she could be grand, you know, when she wanted to be. I mean, we grew up in the projects, you know. She never made more than $11,000, you know, when she retired. But it wasn't about the circumstances and about, she had everything that she needed. And she had a sense of herself and a way of doing things. There's proper, correct, and grand. She thought highly, think highly of yourself.
Yes.
And that's what she imparted to me. You know,
hold yourself to a higher standard.
Exactly.
There's nothing
hold
about you that's average.
Yes. And your kids. So yeah, when I did that flick of the head, that thing that's in you, that look behind your eye, the way you hold that, lift that chin.
Ah, oh, my God.
Look at it.
Oh, it's iconic.
A couple seconds
forever.
Too long. Read my mind.
Read my mind.
Before I tell you, you might want to read my mind.
Wow. It's hard to believe now that it's been almost 25 years since Stella got her groove back. I hear that women still come up to you and say, I got my groove back.
Mm-hmm.
They do. What did that mean to you doing that film?
You know, Terry McMillan's, you know, script, and I, of course, two of them. It was just everywhere. And, you know, women, you know, coming up through the industry, you know, they, you know, it was said at 40, boom, it's done. You're
it's
a has-been, sit down, get back,
yeah.
Hush, hush up, you know. It's all about what's coming next. What's new, what's young, what's hot, what's next. And for women to, seasoned women, to be sure of yourself, of who you are, of your standards, feeling free in your own beauty and intellect and sensuality, it meant a great deal. Because pretty much, like, the landscape would paint a picture is, you know,
yeah.
That's it at 40. And it's far from it. It's so much more satisfying.
What we know now, 40, you're just getting started. You are just stepping into it.
Yes.
You are just stepping into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then around 44, it heats up. It's starting to get good, right?
Exactly.
Yes, 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 yes. Queen Ramonda. Mm. I mean, did that feel like a gift?
It did. It did. Ryan Coogler called me up, and I'm sitting in my kitchen, and this young director, I'd seen his first movie, Fruitvale Station. This young director, yeah, Ryan, he wants to call you. I was like, okay, I want you to play. And I was just floored.
Had you even seen the script?
No. No script, you know. Some of these places are so secretive.
Yeah.
Marvel with the scripts. But he said Queen. And I think for years I had been saying, you know, when you're asked, what else would you like to play? I want to play a queen.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just talking smack. You know, I mean,
but you
kinda
manifested
in there.
Yeah.
But I manifested it, evidently, because I hadn't seen it. And it's not queen for me, it's queen for us.
Yes.
We are queens.
Yes.
My mother, my auntie, you, we all are. And so often we're at, you know, black woman has been considered at the low end of the totem?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you brought the queendom.
Yes.
You brought the queendom. You brought it down.
That's who we are.
You lifted it up.
That's who we are.
You took us there. So last year I'm in my house. We're all in our pajamas watching you on Oscar night. You're wearing purple.
Yes.
30 years after you were nominated for What's Love Got to Do with It, but didn't win. So I just knew your name was going to be called. And then when they didn't, I was beside myself. We were beside ourselves in our house.
Were you gobsmacked?
Were you gobsmacked? Were you gobsmacked? So Angela Bassett's face became like all over the internet.
Uh-huh.
And I thought you actually handled it really well, because people are saying your disappointment showed, but I thought you handled it very well. What did you think?
Thank you. I thought I handled it very well also, and that was my intention, was to handle it very well. It was, of course, a supreme disappointment.
A supreme disappointment.
And disappointment is human. So I thought, yes, I was disappointed, and I handled it like a human being.
I thought you did. I thought you did. So I didn't get the whole Angela Bassett face. I thought, wow, you can see that, oh, well, I expected another thing, but you were still as gracious as a queen would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did.
Absolutely, for myself and for my children who were there with me.
Yes,
and
yes.
I know a pastor who says, technology's different, people are the same, you know?
I think that's great.
And it's like, there are going to be these moments of disappointment that they are going to experience, but how do you handle yourself in the midst of them? So we're gonna smile, we're gonna be gracious, we're gonna be kind, we're gonna party.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you know what's interesting? That actually teaches your children more than anything you can ever say about what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Is how you behaved in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. You are currently starring as Miss Badass LAPD Patrol Sergeant Athena Grant Nash on 9-1-1 on ABC. What has playing that done for you? What has that character given to you? Is she fun?
She is fun. She's hard. She's,
you
know,
works,
whenever I have to, run and really arrest someone. It's like, with all this gack on.
You know? Yes.
So I appreciate our first responders. So it's given me appreciation for what they do. Fire, safety, the safety. Serve and protect, you know.
Serve and protect.
Serve and protect.
Do you have to work every day, every other day? Are you on set?
Not every day. It really is an ensemble, and it's a great group of people, and we have a good time together. They are funny. I'm the least funny of them all. I just sit and laugh and listen. But they are a magnificent crew that work hard, and it gives me, I have a little bit of freedom, although I just can't, you know, go and do everything else I might be interested in doing. So, you know, a one-hour dramatic series sort of tethers you to the earth.
I just want to talk about your family. I think, first of all, the fact that you and Courtney have been together now almost 30 years.
Almost
30 years. And have raised the most respectful, kind, gracious, smart, engaging children in this world, in this environment, at this particular time. I mean,
I'm gonna give those props to Courtney. I'm gonna just give him the majority.
No,
he literally would have them at 2 and 3 standing in front of the house, waving at cars, saying, "Hello, good day, good day." And they would go, "Dad, they did not wave back." Or in the park, "You broke your arm. Can I pray for you?
Oh my
Lord,
goodness.
Help heal her arm," you know. So he would encourage that.
Wow. I remember when they were first on the Oprah show, when they were like little, they weren't even toddlers. They couldn't even like crawl or walk at the time. And I love the moment at the Governor's Award when you say, "Rest on your feet, rest on your feet."
I offer a lifetime and beyond of gratitude to my sister, Danette, my husband, Courtney, and our beautiful children, Bronwyn and Slater, whom I'm blessed to have with me this evening. Rest on your feet.
That was impromptu. I didn't expect to say that. That wasn't part of my remarks, my scripted remarks.
What it indicated to me, and I think to so many other people, that this is a household where respect and reverence and paying attention and politeness, I mean, like...
Yeah, thank you. And as proud as they were of me in that moment, I want to evidence to them that I am as proud of them. Mm. I want that room to see, the world to see.
Yeah.
You know? I think you are magnificent. Rest on your feet.
Yes.
And let them gaze at you
rest on your feet.
A moment. You've heard that before.
Yeah, rest
Those
on
who
your
know,
feet.
Rest on your feet.
Rest on your feet.
Stand up.
And now they're both ready to go off to college. What are y'all going to do when the children are off to at college at the same time?
I might need like just a couple sessions of therapy, perhaps. Maybe talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I kid, but it may be true.
I remember years ago, some parental therapist on the Oprah show was saying that many parents don't recognize when they need to be managers and when the time comes that they can no longer manage, and they are just consultants.
I've heard that recently.
Do you now send them out into the world knowing that you have done the work?
Exactly. I remember hearing someone say, and it made, you know, you hear these things that make sense to you for your situation, and one was, the only job where you try to work yourself out of it is being that parent that's in there every
day.
That's
managing
everything.
You want to
work yourself out of that so that they're independent and strong and make their own decisions. So being that mama, you know, and every day, and you call me every day, I want you to be independent.
It's so interesting, Courtney and Dr. Robin, I did an interview with them about his book, Invisible Age.
Yes, yes.
And it's so interesting that he led the life that he led, you've had the life that you've had, we all came up at a different time. Mm-hmm. So your children grew up in a world where they don't have to carry the same kinds of burdens that you carried or Courtney carried. What is your dream for them? I remember years ago too having a father on who said, every family, every mother, every father has a dream in their spirit, in their soul for their child. What is your deepest dream for your children?
For them to find that which they love, to be passionate about it, to be sure of themselves, to not
follow every wind and direction, but to have to stand on their standards, to be sure of themselves, I always try to tell them, follow your instincts, mm-hmm. they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that they will know that there is a God, that they will trust God in their lives.
Trust God in their lives, yeah.
Give them a future and a hope.
Yes. So where will you keep your Oscar?
Well, right now he's in the kitchen because I spend most of my time there, the kitchen family room area. I don't know where he wants to reside for the most part, but right now, you stay where I can see you. Rest on your feet and stay where I can see you. I need to keep an eye on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this poem by Derek Walcott. It's called Love After Love. And one of the last lines of Love After Love, it's one of my favorite poems, is sit, feast on your life. Sit and feast on your life. Take all the old love letters from the shelves and sit and feast on your life. Have you been able to take in this wondrous life that you are living in this moment and feast on your remarkable accomplishments?
I think every morning I wake up and roll to my knees, you know, and say, thank you. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. And let me do my best with it today. I don't sit and ponder all that I've done, but, you know, reflect a little bit. And there have been times when, you know, people have not agreed with the choices that I've made. You know, you represent, we don't think that's a good choice. And it's like, I'm doing this for another reason because I know this woman and I want to lift up this woman in this portrayal. This is what I do. If I was a brain surgeon, I'd do that, but I don't do that. This is where I can make an impact.
What I loved is you ended your speech at the Academy by saying the best is yet to come. Do you have an idea of what that is, or do you know in your spirit in the same way that you knew when you decided to tell your uncle you were not coming back to New York 35 years ago, but that
I
you were going to stay?
I know in my spirit.
You know in your spirit.
I know in my spirit. There's always work. I know my spirit's strong, you know, and it's still voracious and wants to do it, still in love with it. And, you know, my friend and mentor and my standard bearer, she showed me, keep doing it. I saw Miss Tyson on Broadway, way up in those mature years.
Yes.
She is my example.
She was on Broadway in 90.
Yeah, well, you call the number.
Call
yes.
So you're right, the best is yet to be revealed.
That's right.
I thank you, Angela Bassett. Thank you, thank you. You know, Maya Angelou wrote once, you make me proud to spell my name, W. O-M-A-N. Those are her words, but I'm taking her words to say that to you today. You make me proud to spell my name, W-O-M-A-N.
And you make me equally so.
Thank you.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.